Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the H2P podcast on DK Pittsburgh Sports. My name is Corey Crisson. Recording this on the road. This is a Pitt podcast, but I was on the road covering one Paul Skeens in Indianapolis on Friday, so figured I'd tape some thoughts and, of course, share with you all my general opinion and, I guess I could say, belief with respect to Bub Carrington and his entering the NBA draft. For those that missed it this week, Bub Carrington, Jeff Capel, there was a press conference held at the Peterson Events Center with Carrington and Capel, and the announcement came down from Carrington. He is not going to be a Pitt Panther in 2024-25. He will be playing professional basketball somewhere. And that somewhere, more likely than not, I'll be stunned if it's not, is the NBA. Carrington declares for the NBA draft. He says he's going to stay in the NBA draft. He says he's going to play pro basketball next year. And this is a monumental move for multiple reasons with respect to the Pitt basketball program. Number one, of course, Pitt is losing arguably their best guard, if not their second best guard, certainly among their best players. Let's not leave Jalen Lowe out of the discussion, and it's arguable to say that Jalen played better at many points of last season than Carrington did. But that's not what this is totally about. You have to look beyond the box score when it comes to the NBA draft or any draft. And you have to look at the projectables, and you have to look at the growth that Bub Carrington could undergo. Averaged just under 14 points, but really came along towards the second half of at least January, the end of January and February, and certainly March, made an impact for Pitt down the stretch when they needed to win basketball games, of course, to keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive. Now, Pitt fell short, but Carrington did pretty much all he could. He posted a couple of 20-point outings. He looked really good doing it, and he had a good performance against North Carolina, even though Pitt lost in the ACC tournament. So, yeah, he is talented. And as we talked about, as I talked about, and Gary Morgan talked about with me throughout parts of the season, there were parts of his game that needed seasoning. And I think that's still the case. And in fact, when you read some mock drafts and when you read some scouting reports on Bub Carrington, that's creating a divide. There's a certain divide between the scouts with respect to how Carrington, number one, projects as of right now, and number two, what he could be as a rookie. Keep in mind, in the NBA, it's not like the NFL or National Hockey League or Major League Baseball. In the NBA, if you draft somebody in the first round, unless it's an international player in which he's going to go play overseas somewhere or whatever it is, and they're drafting the rights to that player, you're drafting someone to get in the rotation now, more likely than not. Now, is Carrington a lottery pick? Is he just outside of the lottery? That's a completely different question. And I think there's an argument both ways, because you have a 6'5 guard, shot the ball pretty well, 18 years old, still a lot of time to grow for Bub. And yeah, if you look at that and you look at what a frame could fill out to be, maybe he grows to 6'6 or 6'7. Yeah, maybe he could cause some damage. But at the same time, it's that divide, it's that decisive factor of sometimes when I watch Bub Carrington, I didn't see him go with that left hand and come off strong with it. and score off of the left-handed dribble and score off of moving to his left. And then there were times where, and Bub even said this, scouts told him they want to see him use his body more, get inside and score more. So I can see why Bub and, of course, Jeff Capel would have gotten feedback that said, we like him as a prospect. But at the same time, it's feasible to sit here and note that as a prospect right now, as he sits at 18 years old, coming off of his freshman year, where he wasn't dominant all year, right? He had his ups and downs. There's still some flaws to his game. And that's fine. Every player has flaws. But does that risk of entering the draft now and developing in the NBA outweigh the prospect of him staying at Pitt, developing another year under Capel and Tim O'Toole and Milan Brown and Jason Capel and the coaching staff, and then potentially being a lottery pick or at least more of a lock to be one next year? That's an argument. I think it's a fascinating case. I think Carrington is one of the more polarizing first-round prospects in this NBA draft. And in segment two, when we come back, I want to talk about this from a Pitt perspective, because they called a press conference for this, and novelty, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like novelty thinking or conventional wisdom, I guess, would suggest that they're calling a press conference to announce something, right? But you would think that a draft announcement where a guard who's going to be a focal point, if not the focal point of the team for next year, and saying that he's going to leave, you would think that, you know, it's an occasion where, all right, Jeff Capel has to go back to the drawing board and recruit another guard, and now there's another scholarship open, and the program's going to have a void, so to speak. And there's, in some ways, negative connotation to this kind of thing happening. But as I'll talk about in segment two, here on this H2P podcast, Jeff Capel really was happy about this, obviously for Bub. He's obviously not happy about losing a player of Bub's caliber. But at the same time, now Pitt gets a guy that goes to the league as a one and done. And I think that's important. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and let's discuss that. Segment two, to wrap up this H2P podcast. My name is Corey Christen. Today, as I record this, is officially Saturday, April 6, 2024. And just a few days ago, as we discussed in the first segment, Bub Carrington is bound for pro basketball. He will enter the 2024 NBA draft. He says he will stay within that process, and no matter what, he's going to be playing pro basketball come 2024. I think the phrase he used actually was in a few months, which, all right. So, as I mentioned at the end of the first segment, when you look at this kind of thing happening to a basketball program anywhere, really, of course there's positives and negatives to weigh. The negative side that Jeff Capel now has to address, as I said before, is he has to find, number one, a guard that can replace or replicate or be similar to what Bub Carrington was for Pitt. And that opens up a scholarship, that opens up another avenue in recruiting, that makes maybe getting Malik Thomas, local product, of course, teammate of Pitt signee Brandon Cummings. Maybe that makes that more important. Maybe that makes the transfer portal even more important. But as I mentioned earlier, when a press conference is called for this kind of thing, again, you might think, okay, a player is leaving a program, that's a negative thing for the program, which in some cases you would be right, as I just documented. But this is a very positive thing as well for Jeff Capel and this program. It's not often this program puts out first-round caliber draft picks to the NBA, at least in recent years. Given what this program has experienced in the Capel era, let's say pre-2023 NCAA tournament, like wrapping up with the 21-22 season, where we're going into that 22-23 thinking he's on the hot seat, right? I remember going to media day and, you know, there was obviously the Dior Johnson fiasco that happened and Jeff Capel had to address questions about that. But amid doing damage control for that, it was like, yeah, you haven't had a good time here at Pitt. You haven't had good years at Pitt. This has to turn around. Sure enough, he turned it around. Pitt went to the NCAA tournament. Jeff Capel was ACC Coach of the Year. And the follow-up to that resulted in what could have, would have, should have been another NCAA tournament bid this year. They were one of the first four out. They were arguably one of the teams that should have been put in. They were probably a Missouri loss away from getting in, or another key win of getting in. But I digress. Point is, over the last two seasons, this Pitt program literally went from the bottom to the top. And now the fruits of that labor from Jeff Capel are paying off with something like this, with Bub Carrington declaring for the NBA draft after his freshman year. Again, negatives, right? They're losing a really good player. They're losing a 35 to 38 minute a game player. They're losing a guy that put up just about 14 points a game and a few assists and a few rebounds and can stretch the floor with size and really good combo guard. They're losing a lot. I get that. But at the same time, think of the optics for this program now. Think about where this program was 2 years ago compared to where it is now. Would you have been able to sit there after that 2021-22 season and have told me that in 2 years' time, Pitt would have a first-round draft pick, surefire, potential, if things go right, for Bub, lottery pick within 2 years. Oh, and by the way, he's a one-and-done. You probably wouldn't have envisioned that at the time. You might have been trying to pitch me at that time who Pitt's next coach could have been. But this is what Jeff Capel has built this program to be now. Now, I'm not going to say Pitt's going to pump out one and duns every year. That's just not what's going to happen at this stage. But having a player of Carrington's caliber, being able to be a four-star recruit, being able to come in and start right away, being able to develop his game in the manner he did, he struggled a bit. Of course, he had the triple-double to start the game, start the season, right? But then he had some struggles. And then he came out of them and grew because of them. To show that growth, and in the midst of all of that, develop into this caliber of prospect. That kind of thing is a testament to Jeff Capel. And that kind of thing sets the table up in basketball philosophy, in basketball terminology for the future. Now, Jeff Capel's going to have to hit the transfer portal. He's going to have to find another guard. He's going to have to recruit harder. And he's going to have find now another starting caliber piece, unless they believe that Ish Leggett is good to go back in there as the starting guard next to Jalen Lowe. Or if Brandon Cummings is as good or better than we think, or they sign another freshman, or they go to the portal. The options are wide open now, and now no Federico, no Will Jeffress, no Blake Hinson, no Bub Carrington. Four scholarships right there on the table. So now there's more work to do to piece this roster together. I know Papa Conte's coming back for the front court, so that's going to tremendously help the front court, aside from Guillermo Diaz-Graham and, of course, Jorge Diaz-Graham. And Jorge missed part of the season with a foot issue. So we'll see what Jeff Capel's next move is. But it's going to be fascinating, isn't it? And this is a great thing for the Pitt program. I truly think it is, in some respects. But Bub Carrington's a tough one to replace. Real quick, before I sign off, the spring game is a week from this recording. April 13th, Acrisure Stadium, blue gold. I'm excited to see what Nate Yarnell's got. I'm excited to see what these wide receivers got. I'm excited to see the Cade Bell offense. Everybody's raving about this offense on the South side, right? It was amazing in FCS. It was amazing at Western Carolina. He brought over his running back. He brought over his wide receiver with Desmond Reed and Sincere Lee, respectively. But I need to see more development out of Nate Yarnell, obviously. And I'm on record saying and writing that this offseason plan had to find a way to build around Nate Yarnell. This was the quarterback. This is the quarterback. This is the guy they have to build on. I understand Eli Holstein. I understand Christian Vayer. I understand Julian Duggar. But they got to find a way to get the best out of Nate Yarnell right now. And I'm really intrigued to see how this Cade Bell offense looks against the defense that, okay, style-wise has been in place here for 10 years with Pat Narduzzi. Number two, has guys that have been sitting behind veterans learning for the last couple of years. Whether they're redshirt sophomores or redshirt freshmen or true sophomores. It's going to be a fascinating spring game for that reason. All eyes are going to be on the offense, and particularly in Nate Yarnell. So I will be at Acrisure Stadium for that 1 week from this date. And we'll see if the basketball discussion continues to be heated. I can't say heated, but if the heat will be turned up, how about that on the basketball discussion? Or if it'll cool off a bit. We'll find out. But thank you for listening to this episode of the H2P Podcast. Remember, you can find us where all podcasts are found. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. Please like, please share, please subscribe. That goes a very, very long way for all of us, including myself. And I appreciate, again, you taking time to listen this week. My name is Corey Crisson. This has been the H2P Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers, everybody.